This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Alrighty, hour number two. This would be a treat. Got Mark Cuban coming up in a sec. Dallas Mavericks owner Tiki and Tierney coming here from our studios, respectively in our homes. Obviously not back in a lower Manhattan studio yet, but inching toward that. And we are from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Challenging times, Rocket Mortgage is prepared to help. If you need mortgage assistance, just contact their team 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. We're getting there. We're getting closer to hoops. We're getting closer to everything, getting back to normal, or at least maybe the new normal. So to help us navigate these waters, which admittedly are still a little murky, but not quite as choppy as they were a couple of weeks ago or a few months ago for sure. Mark Cuban, the owner of the Mavericks, who's one of the really good guys in the business, incredibly successful, obviously, but a straight shooter and always a good guest. Mark, Tiki, and Tierney, how you doing today, man?
Hey guys, how y'all doing?
We are doing really well. Thanks for joining us, and I hope everything is safe down there. But, you know, I'm curious with you and with your team and, you know, as you guys think about restarting, what's the mental the mental capacity right now for you guys to comprehend how the season is going to go forward? Because it feels like there's a lot being thrown out there right now.
Yeah, I mean, look, we're still kind of in limbo because it's still safety first. And I think that's the biggest question and biggest challenge, actually. Because, you know, no athlete wants to go back and put themselves in jeopardy. You have a limited career in terms of years. And, you know, we've got to make sure it's safe. And not only that, we've got to make sure that the players are confident that it's safe. So that's the biggest challenge going forward.
Now, when you say that, and you know, I'm sure that the players have been talking a lot. I'm sure that you've been talking to them a lot. But, you know, is there a chance that players are going to say, we don't want to do this? We don't feel comfortable?
Yeah, there's always that chance. I mean, if you go back to when Magic Johnson said he had HIV, how many guys said they wouldn't play with him?
That's a good point.
Yeah, Karl Malone, very outspoken.
Yeah, and so, you know, I think there's always uncertainty. But, you know, that's just part of our job, and part of the league's job is just giving everybody that confidence. But on the flip side, all the guys that I've talked to, you know, and they've always also, they've obviously all been in quarantine and paying attention to everything. They're dying to play. I mean, they're ready to get back. You know, it's one of those things where their bodies all feel a whole lot better now, and they get to almost start a season and have a shortened season where they just get to go after it. Yeah. And so they're excited.
You know, Mark, a lot of times we say, and we do this in sports radio, you know, all things considered even, you know, which quarterback would you rather have or what would you – and we always establish that premise, you know, all things considered even. But in this situation, Mark, not everything's even because certain states have been open earlier than others. Certain players have access to basketball courts and others don't. If I'm not mistaken, your situation is much more complicated because, at least to my knowledge, tell me if I'm wrong, Doncic and KP are in Europe. So, number one, is that true? And number two, transition them back. Any fears? Is that going to be a problem?
Well, so number one, it's true. Number two is we're tracking the cases over there very, very, very closely. And it's funny, Luka hit the nail on the head. He said it would be safer over there, and he's right. And same with Latvia. So they're actually a little bit more open. So they have a lot more facilities and opportunities to work out, and that's what they're doing.
And just listen, Doncic, I mean, this kid, how the hell – I mean, first of all, how did the other how did he not go first overall? Luka Doncic – I mean, I know you know what you have in this kid, but, Mark, Luka Doncic is
he's
frighteningly talented.
Yeah, he's a beast. And, you know, as you guys know – it's one thing to have talent. It's another thing to have skill. But it's the most important thing is to have that work effort, you know, that desire to be the best and just willingness to work and do what it takes mm-hmm. and be the first in and last out. And that was always the question that we weren't able to answer, and you never really can until you see a guy get into the pros. And that's been the difference. I mean, that's been the key for us. Not only is he talented and skilled and a beast in every which way, but he's a worker, and he wants to get better, and he wants to be the best, and he'll put in that time. And that's really what's making him different and separating him.
Well, what's amazing to me, talking to Mark Cuban, the owner of the Mavericks here, I have a lot of stuff we want to jump around, and we will. The take the Packers for a moment here, and they went from Brett Favre to Rodgers, and who knows, maybe Jordan Love becomes that third guy, and they have 35 years of great quarterback play. You know, part of it is, you know, a little lucky, the timing, but
a lot of luck.
True. Okay, I got you on that. But you still have to scout. You still have to have the conviction. But I hear you. You guys are looking at a situation where transitioning from, you know, 15 years of greatness from Dirk to, you know, who knows what, if Doncic gives you that as well, you guys might have 25 to 30 years of having one of the best players in the NBA, and that's rare.
That's very rare, and let's hope you're right.
I think I am. I think I'm going to be.
Because, you know, obviously you have to stay injury-free, and that's half of it. But, yeah, we're really, really excited about Luka. And, you know, it still takes a team. And, you know, one of the beautiful things about Luka is that he makes everybody on the squad better.
He does, yeah.
It's one thing to be great and put up numbers, but when people want to play with you, and again, he's only really played, you know, a year and a half of NBA basketball, and already the guys just love to play with him because – you know, you talk to our players, and it's like, well, the thing about Luka is I know how, where, and when I'm going to get the ball. Mm-hmm. It's not like I'm uncertain and I don't know how the play is going to unfold. It's like I know if I'm in this spot and I know if I'm open, he's going to see me. And I know that if I create this spacing, he can get to the rim. And he's turned into one of the best finishers in the NBA. And I'll tell you a little story. After last season, I asked him, Luka, what do you have to get better at? And he said, I have to get better at finishing with my left hand. He went from, you know how when you're playing basketball and you're going full speed ahead on a layup because you're trying to beat a guy down the court?
Yeah. Yeah.
And you go too hard and too fast, and the ball just cranks, you blast off the backboard. Yeah. Well, that's what he would do all the time last year. And he goes, I got to learn to be under control and finish with my left hand. Now he's one of the top three finishers in the NBA.
Yeah, no, and it takes work. You know, and Mark, you said something interesting there about his current teammates loving to play for him, which makes me think, when I extrapolate out, man, Dallas is going to be a free agent destination. You're going to get, you know, some of these stars that come off contracts and say, I want to go play in Dallas because they already have two of a big three potentially. Have you guys thought about how free agency is going to be impacted, you know, going forward with this roster that you have? And you said it's partly luck, but hell, being lucky is part of it in sports, right?
You know what? Free agency is an interesting topic right now because we don't know what the pandemic's going to do to the cap. And
We
don't know how that's going to impact, you know, what the cap will be next year and future years because who knows how long we'll be playing without fans. You know, so a team, depending on what happens, we don't know, you know, if no teams will have cap room or all teams will have cap room. Whether or not we'll have to change the rules, you know, and the league will work with the Players Association to figure something out. There's so many uncertainties there that the first thought is, okay, do we have a squad that can keep on getting better? You know, and I think we do. And then depending on what happens with free agency, then maybe, you know, if things open up for us, then, yeah, I think players are going to love playing with Luka.
Yeah, and being in Dallas with you, be honest with you. You know, speaking of revenues, and that brings you to what happens to the rest of this season. Now, we only heard reports. We don't know what actually has been sent to you guys or to the Players Association. But it looks like, at least it sounds like, Disney is going to be an option for, you know, this mass congregating of the NBA teams and different formats are being tossed out there. What's the most likely situation to happen to get the season back up and running in the postseason and finish in a champion crown?
So here's what I proposed. I'll just tell you point blank. You know, Disney's obviously our biggest partner, so it makes sense to work with them very mm-hmm. closely. And so I like the idea of a Hotel California set up. You can check in, but you can never leave until you're eliminated. and so that
That's
allows
great.
Us to work on really keeping people safe. And obviously, if you're in Disney World down there, it's you know, it's not like you're cramped. There's plenty of space.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just saw a thing today. There's more acreage there than all of Manhattan. You know, it's about the same size as the city of San Francisco. And so you know, there's plenty of room, so you're not going to be claustrophobic. And I think, you know, presuming all the pieces continue to play out like they seem to be, we'll be able to keep everybody safe. There's no reason to think we won't be. And then we play. And I think, you know, once we – then it becomes a decision. After safety, it's a decision of, okay, how do we play it out? And what I've proposed is very simple. That we play 5 to 7 more regular season games, because you can't just throw guys into the playoffs. It's just physically too tough.
Yeah.
You know, it's just you got to get them, you know, into the groove of playing the games. Then once you do that, you also – once you set the number of games you're going to play, then what I propose is that we take the top 10 seeds in each conference. And with 5 to 7 more games, that means every team in the Eastern Conference, even the lowest seeded team right now, has a chance to make the playoffs because they're fewer than 5 games behind the 10th spot. And then the same in the Western Conference. Now, the lowest two teams couldn't make it. They're more than 5 or 7 games out. But that means all but 2 teams have a chance to make the playoffs. Once you have those 2 top 10s from the 2 conferences, you combine them together, seed 1 through 20, then you have a one-time playoff game like you do in the NCAA at AA.
Wow.
Where 20 plays 17, 19 plays 18.
Interesting.
The winners of those play a series against the 15th and 16th seeded teams, and the first 2 seeds get a bye, and then you play it out. And the reason I do it that way is you want, for these remaining games, you know, because, you know, and this has been written before, the economics for the NBA is that there's a lot of local TV money.
Yeah.
And we've got to get up to a certain number of games for those, for all local teams to be, all teams to be able to do that with their local broadcast partners.
Yep.
And so
yep.
We want to have some interest from all those teams, or as many of them as possible. So having 28 out of 30 teams either in the playoffs or having a good chance to make it creates that interest. Then you have the one-game playoff, which creates more interest. And then you get into the playoffs, and who knows what will happen.
Do you think, have you sensed that the other owners are receptive? I mean, how is that?
I don't know. I'll find out more these next couple of weeks.
Gotcha.
But so I send it to the commissioner, send it to the league, send it to the general managers. So we'll see what happens.
Okay. It's Mark Cuban with us here on Tiki and Tierney. I got to switch it up. I got to ask you something about the Cowboys. I have to.
Okay.
My wife's from Dallas, and she loves the Cowboys.
Uh-huh.
And let's face it, and I'm there a lot, although now we haven't traveled. So I know what the Cowboy fans thinking. I'm very surprised here, Mark, and just watching you do business, I think that you would do it very different than Jerry. Are you surprised, at least pertaining to Dak, are you surprised that months of public posturing and back and forth, and are you surprised that Jerry has not signed Dak Prescott to a contract?
No, because
– Really?
No, because really timing is the most important thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you still got time. And so as a Cowboys fan, you know, I'm not stressing about it at all, because until you've really got to start those workouts, then everybody's got a chance to say, well, I'll stick with this because maybe the other side will say yes. And so, you know, Dak's guy asked for whatever he needs, you know, to ask for to be the highest paid player ever. And Jerry says, okay, here's my cap situation, Dak's agent. You know, this is what you're going to do to us. Doesn't Dak want to win? And you go back and forth on that stuff. And then, you know, Dak's agent talks about here's the players you can get to restructure your contracts, and goes back and forth and that. And then they wait until the last minute and they figure it out.
Yeah, but Mark, what about the thought that the longer this drags on, maybe not from Dallas's point of view, business is business, I get that, but from Dak's point of view, a little acrimony sets in and some hurt feelings that might resurface in a couple of years where he says, you know what, I'm out of here.
I've never seen that, simply because, you know, when you pay a guy that much money, the minute he says yes, he's really happy.
Yeah, that's true. That's a big Band-Aid.
Yeah, I mean, it makes it so much harder because the NFL has a hard cap. I mean,
exactly.
there's a cap in the NBA, but you think there's ever an argument for the NFL going more towards guaranteed contracts? I know this is a player-specific question, really, but you're starting to see, and it's really because of your league, Mark, you're starting
right.
to see NFL players not get pissed, but like, dude, why are these guys making guaranteed generational money? And I can't, I mean, I'm basically an at-will employee. You think ever going to change?
Yeah, I don't know, but here's what I know. Back, not this past CBA, but I was on the negotiating committee a couple CBAs ago, and we asked for that analysis. And effectively, because of the upfront guaranteed money that NFL players do get, mm-hmm. that NBA players don't get, there wasn't as big a gap as people think.
Oh,
and also because players in the NBA in the lower end, like the 13th, 14th, and 15th guys and our two-way players, don't typically have guaranteed contracts either. And so it kind of it doesn't seem right in the way it's done, but you don't get these big bonus payments in the NBA the way you do in the NFL, and you don't get the chance to restructure and get that money up front multiple times.
Interesting. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And you just brought up something else that just sparked a thought. The G League and these two-way contracts that we're talking about, the NBA and obviously the NCAA used to be, like, cohesive. Now it feels like they're kind of starting to butt heads a little bit. Is that good or bad for either or both?
Hey, you know what? If it were up to me, I would just torch the NCAA and put them out of existence.
Really? Why?
Wow.
Why?
I think they do more harm because the way they're structured and the way the whole concept of – when you can practice, when things can happen and not happen, and all these limitations leads to really how AAU is right now and the influence that shoe companies have on AAU. And the things that I've always pushed for in the years I've been in the league is we've got to do whatever we can to take that away from AAU. And if that means, you know, the NCAA, you know, doesn't like it, just me speaking for myself, I could care less. I'll tell you a little secret. Like, back before there was an NFL playoff, there was a group of guys, or not NFL, NCAA playoff, there were a group of guys who reached out to me about, you know, funding our own playoffs, and part of what we proposed was going to the Big Ten and buying out the basketball teams from the Big Ten, from the NCAA, and having them be an independent business.
Don't ruin college. Come on, Cuban.
Are you kidding?
Come on.
For real. For real, and they would have made so much more money doing it with us, but that's just not the way they think.
Listen, wow. Mark, do us a favor.
Well, you know what? That's like a free market. If you do something like
it's exactly
a free market. But that's like they have amateurism.
Listen, Mark,
that's the fallacy of amateurism. You know that, Mark.
You got all the money in the world. Just don't start dipping into the NCAA pool, will you? Keep your hands to yourself. Come on,
Cuban.
You know
I like to mess things up, man. Anytime I can screw things up for people and disrupt, I'm always game for that.
I got to ask you this. I have to. We're talking to Mark Cuban. And Tiki will attest, all right? 2 years ago, we're at the Super Bowl, and I get a text from my producer. KP just got traded to the Mavericks. Now, listen, Mark, to say that I'm a devout Knicks fan, it's just take my word for it. I'm all in. As much as the owner is a clown and they suck, I am all in. Can you tell me, when you hung up the phone with, whether it was Mills or Dolan, whomever you hung up with, you gave Dennis Smith, who can't shoot and will never, ever, ever, if he locked himself in the gym for the last 3 months during quarantine, he'll never be a good shooter. That kid will never be a good shooter. You gave up Dennis Smith, and you somehow coerced the Knicks into giving up a 7'2" unicorn. When you hung up the phone, please, you had to be laughing at the Knicks.
No, it doesn't work like that at all.
Oh, stop. Come on.
First, it was our general manager. And so all teams talk about trades with other teams all the time. It just happens. That's just the way it works. And so, you know, teams would call us about Dirk. Teams call us about Luka. If you ever decide to trade Luka, and we're like, no. And we would call, you know, teams, and we'd call the Knicks about KP. And just like what happened with Harden, like when James Harden was traded from OKC to Houston, it wasn't like we were in the mix and we just didn't do a big enough deal. It was just, you know, hey, Houston, yes or no. And it was the same thing with us, yes or no. And so when Donnie, our general manager, called me and I was like, hey, we got this, yes or no? I'm like, yes, you know.
Then you laughed.
But let me also add one more thing. Dennis Smith will be able to play in this league. He hasn't been a great shooter, and I'm just telling you, Scott, he had some of the wrong people around him, and that's why he couldn't shoot.
Mark.
And I gave him grief because of it, and I think he's finally figured it out, and he's going to take some advice from the right people because he can play. I mean, and he can defend, and I think he's just had to learn the hard way. And he'll be one that – I mean, look at Danny Green popped out of the league a few times. Wasn't a shooter, and then he was. And,
good point.
You know, other players the same way, but Dennis will be all right.
Now, listen, I'm going to and by the way, I hope that you're right because he's still on the Knicks, but listen, he's not going to be around long with the Knicks. I think they're going to reroute him. I look at it this way, and I'm surprised that you would disagree with this assertion. I'm not saying there aren't any situations where guy's not a good shooter as a kid, and he just wills himself to become competent. There are examples of that, for sure. Magic Johnson became a decent shooter as a guy. Yeah. I get that. But Dennis Smith couldn't shoot at NC State, couldn't shoot early with you, couldn't shoot with the Knicks. I don't think it's going
to
change.
Knowing June really well, and I would just try to say you're getting advice from the wrong people, June. You're talking, you know, the guy he worked out with last summer was awful. He came back, you know, the summer before we traded him, and he came back with a hitch and this and that. And I'm like, June, you know, and I've kept in touch with him, and I'll always give him a little hard time. But I can see him evolving and maturing, you know. Just and that, this goes back to what we were saying about AAU, right? AAU can ruin kids, right? It gives them this false sense of security. It gives them this thought that, you know, they're destined for greatness, you know, and they don't have to work as hard as other kids. And, you know, maybe they get bad advice from somebody who thinks it's not your fault, Dennis, it's their fault. You know, and a lot of that applies with a lot of different players. I can't tell you how many guys we've had come through. And, Tiki, you've seen this. You guys both have seen this on the field.
Yep.
Tons of talent, right, and just some bad advice, and their head's not in the right place. And then other guys, it takes them some time, but they figure it out. I promise you, Dennis Smith Jr. will figure it out.
All right. Well, listen, you've been
way
very
to make BT feel good, Mark.
Listen, but Tiki, by the way, I'm just moving on because we got to let him go. I'm respectfully moving on.
He'd fight you for an hour on this one.
I would fight him, I'd win.
I'll take that bet.
Nice. All right. Hey, listen, I mean, you know, what are we betting? 100? Not 100 mil. We want to bet $100. That's fine.
I'll tell you what. I'll put up 100. Against your penny, that whatever shooting metrics that, let's just say he'll shoot 37% from three. Next full season, where he's in a good place, he can shoot 37% from three, no problem.
And what about overall from the field? Do you want to make it 40?
Well, it depends how many shots he takes, right? Because it depends on where you're at. Because if you're shooting 90% threes, you know, you're shooting 37% overall. But let's just say he'll shoot a good 80-plus percent from the free throw.
Well, if he's shooting 90% threes, then his coach is a moron because he can't shoot.
No, but I'm telling you, if you're shooting 37% and you can push the ball like he can and you can get to the free throw line and play some contact, you're okay.
Hey, listen, man, always cool. Yes or no, July 20th, we have NBA? By then.
I'm hopeful.
Awesome.
Good.
Good talking to you, Mark. Really appreciate
it. Great chat.
Guys.
Really
be well.
Enjoyed it.
Be
Thanks,
safe.
Man. He's one of the good guys.
$100 to a penny? $100 to a penny?
Sharp Tierney doesn't turn down a good deal. You think I'm stupid?
Hey, dude, that's awesome.
Now, let's just hope he's not a mooch like our buddy Shaq.
No, he's not.
And that's the last bet that we won, and he didn't, you know, Mark will pay off.
Yeah.
37% from three? I'll take that bet. That was good. Reasonably confident that the NBA is moving in the right spot. Awesome.
And, man, he doesn't like the NCAA.
Yeah, I hope, that's one thing. I hope he would never do that, man.
No, I'm just saying in general. He's like, he clearly has some ire.
My issue
guys.
Is that I think he absolves the summer circuit a little bit too quickly and throws most of the blame on the NCAA. I think it's a little bit more equitable to distribute. But listen, certainly something to think about. 855-212-4227. Great spot with Cuban. Quick timeout, Tiki and Tierney back in a second right here on CBS Sports Radio. All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free lines, 1-855-212-4227, sponsored by Geico. Geico's introduced the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers that'll last your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for info and eligibility. Cuban was dishing, which was great. Great spot with Mark. Really enjoyed that. Quote, AAU can ruin kids. It gives them a false sense of security. Totally agree with that. It gives them this thought that they're destined for greatness and don't have to work as hard as other kids. That is a money quote, and he's on. This I don't agree with. If it were up to me, I would just torch the NCAA and put them out of existence. I think they do more harm. Now, nobody's going to tell me the NCAA is perfect. It's far from that. You listen to me and Teague, we've been saying for years they've got to really overhaul a bunch of things, and they're in the process of doing that, which is great. They're finally coming out of the cave here. But to say that the NCAA does more harm than good, to me, is that's just unfair. It's unfair.
It depends on what sport you're talking about. And
any sport.
What class of, you're not talking about, track. You're not talking about the Olympic sports, track and field or swimming or things of that nature. There's a usefulness. But when it comes to managing and financing these massive, massive endeavors in college basketball and the National Football League, in college football, they haven't done such a great job. And a lot of people would agree with that.
But specifically to what? I just want to make sure we're on the same page.
The money that's been coming in and doling it out, and more importantly, how it's been inequitable on kids. I think that's the biggest part of it. And 10 years ago, BT, the NCAA signed a $1 billion contract for TV rights and did nothing to the to help the student athlete other than giving them room and board and a scholarship and everything else that you want to talk about and under the guise of amateurism. It's a flawed system. And I think that's what he's talking about. He's not talking about the NCAA as it pertains to, you know, field hockey and lacrosse and
well,
soccer.
No, I get that.
And everything else. It's more on how they've failed to properly investigate the malfeasance that goes on in schools, how they, you know, over-penalize. I mean, hell, Miami, they dragged that investigation out with the football program for like 6 years, right? It destroyed the program, right? One of the reasons Miami couldn't get recruits is because they were under threat of not really the death penalty, but you know what I mean. They were under threat of severe sanctions for a long time, so none of the kids would went there. And I remember this because Al Golden, former one of my graduate assistants when I was at UVA, was the head coach at the time. And Al gets a bad rap, but I mean, what the hell could he do? You know, it was easy to recruit against Miami at the time. So I think it's more nuanced than what the soundbite sounds like.
Well, let's hear it. Go ahead, guys, play this.
Hey, you know what? If it were up to me, I would just torch the NCAA and put them out of existence.
Really? Why? Why?
I think they do more harm because the way they're structured and the way the whole concept of when you can practice, when things can happen and not happen, and all these limitations leads to really how AAU is right now and the influence that shoe companies have on AAU. We've got to do whatever we can to take that away from AAU. And if that means, you know, the NCAA doesn't like it, just me speaking for myself, I could care less.
Okay, so that's why, Teak, I'm not saying that he doesn't believe that there's inequities. Of course, everybody does with, you know, with what the schools and the conferences make versus the student-athlete who's kind of been left out to dry a little bit.
Yep.
No, I need to assert this again. I am a huge proponent of likeness, that goes without saying, branding, imaging, 100%. I am in no position to pay these kids. I'm just not.
It's not about paying the kids.
I understand that. I get that. But what his initial thought was that it was about a timing mechanism based on his chief complaint.
No, his chief complaint is that certain schools are in the pockets of shoe companies. That is a fact.
No, but listen to what he said.
I know, but he's basically saying, I know what he's trying to say if he's not saying it correctly.
Okay.
What he's saying is that certain schools, we know who they are, Kentucky, Kansas, Duke, etc., are in the pockets of shoe companies. And so kids are following the path of the money. Right, I'm at AAU, and guess what? This AAU tournament is sponsored by Adidas, and Adidas is a school for Kansas. What if I end up in Kansas? That's a surprise. That's shocking, right? And so it's an unfair playing field, and the NCAA heretofore, well, until the FBI investigation, has done nothing about it. Right, the first time most people heard about a shoe company paying a player to have him go to the University of Kansas was an FBI investigation a year ago? Come on.
No, there was a movie called Blue Chips that was out 20 years ago with Nick Nolte, Shaq, and Penny Hardaway, and they were doing it.
That's exactly
my
point.
Everybody knows
that. But that was a movie. Right?
But it was a depiction of real life.
I hear you, but it was still a movie. Like, in order for people to believe that, we know it's going on, but I don't really believe it's going on type of thing, it took an FBI investigation. Think about that. The NCAA, it took an FBI investigation for the NCAA to get egg on its face. Seriously.
I get what he's saying.
They've had egg on their face for a long time. That's, I think, where we're splintering.
So then why not get rid of it? Then why not reset do it over?
Well, get rid of it because think about... exact number of players. You know, 12 players on a team. Lord knows how many teams. 320 Division I, whatever it is.
Doesn't even matter. We're talking about a handful. We're talking about 5 to 10%.
But it does matter because when somebody, whether it's Mark or somebody else, makes a blanket statement that the NCAA does more bad than good, I'm sorry. I'm going to contest that, and I'm going to say, well, 95% of the young men and women playing college basketball and the young men playing college football are, you know, it's a good experience. They're socially advancing. They're getting a degree, or at least it's good. I think it's so lazy to say that it's bad because you listen, we could talk about Kansas and UCLA until we drop dead. What about Cleveland State and Cincinnati and Bowling Green and Temple and Monmouth and Marist and Iona and St. Peter's and LIU and all these other schools? There's other schools than just the top 10 teams that we always talk about. And these young men and women, it's not even my humble opinion. I strongly believe that they benefit. So I always get a little worked up when somebody just drops that bomb and says the NCAA does nothing well. No, they do. They're helping the kids. They do.
For the most part, they are. But they are also exploiting kids. And you know that that's a fact as well.
It is. That's why I'm not saying they're perfect. No way am I saying that. Absolutely not. We're speaking the same language there. All right, let's get Axe Update. Somebody's lying, Teak. And I don't think it's Isaiah Thomas about this MJ stuff. We have something that we could get to, which we will after Axe Update, which is right now. Here's Rich.
Tonight at 11 Eastern, 8 Pacific, the competition continues with the challenge, Champ versus Stars. Tune in to see who overcomes the toughest challenges in the world and wins a share of $150,000 to donate to the charity of their choice, only on CBS Sports Network. All right, a little breaking news from the land of the ice. NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman announcing a return to play plan featuring 24 teams' Stanley Cup playoffs in two host cities, one of which I believe is going to be up in Canada. So that just came in, Teak. There's no date as to when this is going to actually transpire, but that was in the last couple of minutes. So hockey heads, puck heads, get excited. That's pretty good, and that's just a sign that things are getting back to the way we all want them to get back to.
Yeah, you know? I mean, at the end of the day, we got to get things functioning again, especially with sports, because, one, we miss it, I think, but more importantly, there's games to be played, and the local revenues, the national revenues need to be generated. That's why it's interesting what the NBA is going to propose. I mean, Mark didn't have an idea yet. When we talked to Cuban, he said it'll be a couple of weeks before they actually know, but their proposal's getting pushed, you know, every day, every week. You hear something different, and ultimately it's got to go before the players. But you got to imagine that it's going to happen sooner rather than later, that the NBA joins the NHL with a plan, at least going forward.
For sure. That is good news, at least a good direction. Listen, we've exhausted the whole Michael Jordan, Isaiah Thomas angle, but this is a little new because it either validates some claims or invalidates others, depending upon your position. There's an old tape that has resurfaced here. I believe it's from Jack McCallum, who's one of the all-time great NBA writers, SI Hall of Famer, and he was doing a Dream Team podcast. We're going to play this for you. The audio's not great. It's a little tinny. It's a little obscured. We'll be able to tell you what was actually on it, but this was, you'll hear Jordan's voice. No sound. Okay. You sure? Okay. Why did I just get a text message that we have the MJ sound then? Okay. Now D-Cell's not talking to me. All right. Just reacting to my text. That's fine. So we could tell you what was on there. Probably be better anyway. Basically, MJ is saying, I'm not on the team if Isaiah Thomas is on the team.
Yeah.
Now, I got to be honest with you, Teak. I don't fundamentally have an issue with that.
No.
Like, I don't have a problem with that.
Well, I mean, because, so here's the thing. We had to think about it back then. So 1990, whatever it was, 91, that they were just, forming this team. Like, the stars, the NBA stars weren't Olympians, right? There was still amateurism. It was the college kids were going to play in the Olympics. It wasn't the NBA stars that were necessarily diving in to be an Olympian. And so it was kind of voluntary is the wrong word because it's always going to be voluntary. You know what I mean? If you don't want to play in the Olympics, you don't play in the Olympics, right? If you're a track star and you don't feel like going to Beijing, you don't go to Beijing. It is what it is.
Yeah.
It's always voluntary. So it's one I'm going to use, but it's the wrong way to say it. You couldn't force Michael Jordan to go play in the Olympics. You're not saying, Mike, everybody, the NBA is mandating that you go to the Olympics. And so if Michael Jordan is sitting there saying, great, I'd love to be a part of this with Magic and Barkley and
Bird,
like all the greats, all these guys are my boys, they're competitors, they're adversaries. But if you want me, and I'm the guy right now, and Isaiah Thomas is going to be on this team, I'm not going, then that's his right to say that. And again, I think that's ultimately what we found out regarding this whole Isaiah Thomas not being on the Dream Team. As much as it was about you know, the bad boys. It was about Isaiah's attitude and how he didn't hang out or didn't interact or didn't have this kind of relationship with a lot of these players. Now, him and Magic are one thing. I mean, we always reference them kissing on court. But for a lot of the guys, they didn't have that like relationship with Isaiah Thomas. And so if they're going to go spend 2 weeks, a fortnight in a basketball camp, or not even before that, probably going to be a month or so before that, all together, you want to like the guys. And so especially if you're a star like Michael Jordan. So I agree with you, BT. I don't have a problem with this.
Zero. And I don't love the fact that apparently he's lying, or at least he lied in the documentary. When he was asked about this, he said, listen, you want to attribute it to me, go ahead and do it.
Yeah.
It's just not true. Rod Thorne.
But did that keep him off? Did Michael Jordan saying that? That's the question. You know what I mean? Did Michael Jordan saying, if Isaiah comes, I'm not going, did that keep him off the team?
Well, you got to – my guess, yes. My guess is yes. I'm not saying that Rod Thorne or Chuck Daly or other voices of influence weren't heard and yielded that power from others. But, listen, you got to take it back to 1992. I mean – we're 7 years into his NBA career. He's the biggest thing on the planet.
He is, but he hasn't won six championships
Doesn't
at that
matter,
point.
Though. He's still, I mean, even before LeBron won his first championship with Miami, you can still, and back then, Teak, if you remember, we didn't have the championship conversation the way we do now incessantly.
Yeah, that's a good
first
point.
Championship.
That's a good point.
You better get a dream team. You better get a big three. You got to win soon.
Yeah, I didn't even think about it, really.
No.
I didn't even really think about it. In real time, I mean, just kind of like the Bulls were expected to win. I didn't think about like the legacy conversation regarding Michael Jordan.
We appreciated the difficulty it was to get through these veteran, battle-tested playoff teams, whether it was the Celtics or the Pistons or the Lakers out west. You know, I mean, it was tough. And there was an understanding that, you know, it's nobody's rite of passage. And those Bulls teams were deficient.
Yeah.
I mean, they really were. They had the best player of all time.
Yeah.
Then they had a blossoming all-star. Again, this is before they won. You can't say that Scottie was a top 50 player of all time then.
No.
You know, eventually he became that. But, you know, and, you know, rotating center cast, we all know the names, rotating off-guard cast for the most part. You have a little Craig Hodges, have a little Steve Kerr, have a little Ron Harper. So, I mean, you know, listen, Michael Jordan did everything he can to put out there what he wanted to protect his image.
Yeah.
Whatever he's trying to protect. I would appreciate it so much more if he just was badass. And he says, you know what? You know, because if you're that competitive and you're that open with your competitive nature, yeah, I popped Steve Kerr, I punched him, I did this. Look into the cameras and say, you know what? I didn't like him. I didn't like him then. I don't like him now. Didn't want to play with him. It's true.
Yeah, here's the exact deal. I agree. There is not a big deal. Here's the quote from the Dream Team tapes.
Okay.
Quote, Rod Thorne, this is MJ, Rod Thorne called me and I said, Rod, I won't play if Isaiah Thomas is on the team. He assured me. He said, you know what? Chuck Daly doesn't want Isaiah. So Isaiah.
I read that this morning. That part is hard to believe.
Chuck Daly doesn't
want Isaiah Thomas?
But this is what MJ said. This is from the tape. Chuck doesn't want Isaiah. So Isaiah is not going to be a part of the team.
He's passing the buck at Chuck.
Yeah, it really does. It sounds like he is. And it sounds like he's still passing the buck.
Yeah,
which he doesn't have to, though.
No. Like I said,
Michael Jordan, for Christ's sakes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, doesn't give him, you know, and I know you know this, just because you're whomever, you know, you're Michael Jordan, doesn't give you a license to be a backstabber or whatever.
Yeah.
But, you know, I would appreciate, you know, let's come full circle. Let's be forthright. Let's be fully transparent here. Everybody in the basketball community has always surmised this. Matter of fact, I didn't hear that audio. I still haven't heard that particular audio. I read it this morning, what Tiki just read. I thought we had the audio. We didn't. But there was another piece of video that I was familiar with for years where, and I, to my recollection, Michael's sitting there in USA gear. So I believe it's some sort of photo shoot for the Dream Team. And, you know, he's sitting, cameras are rolling, but nobody, it's not official yet. He's just kind of getting mic'd up and he's getting comfortable. And he says something like, don't ask me anything about Isaiah Thomas. Mm-hmm. So I mean, that's in real time. That was in 92.
Yeah.
So think about, well, why would he preemptively say that? Well, because there was probably this notion out there that Michael was the driving force behind keeping Isaiah Thomas off the team.
Yeah.
Future Hall of Famer, and Michael didn't want to answer it.
I wonder, nobody else answered about Isaiah Thomas either. Nobody else was talking about this
in real time. No.
And if they were, I'm talking about in 92. I'm not talking about like in retrospect during the documentary that we just watched, but like in real time, no one else was really talking about it either. It just felt like a beef between Isaiah Thomas and Jordan. That was it.
Yeah.
And it couldn't have been because do you think Jordan had that much sway?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
I mean, I find it hard to imagine he had that much sway over a dream team.
Think about this. I'll tell you why. Because at that point, I don't know if it's just Jordan. What if Pippen then aligns himself and says, I'm with MJ?
Yeah.
I'm not playing with that guy.
Pippen almost certainly was aligned.
Boom.
Because
two guys.
Their experience was similar. You know what I mean?
I'm trying not to like carve out this false imagery in my head back in 92.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember I was a freshman. I was sitting in my dorm and I'm watching the Dream Team. But now I don't even know what channel it was on. I don't even remember. But here's what I remember from learning of who was on the team. I was thrilled my boy Ewing was on it, number one. So pumped Mullen was on it, obviously one of my idols as a kid. I never once thought, and also thinking, well, this is going to be insane to see Jordan, Bird, and Magic together, that trio, the Holy Trinity of hoops at that point. But I never once thought, I don't believe, and unless I'm misrepresenting what I thought back then, I don't, and neither did the guys in the dorm that I was on the team. We were all sitting around saying, nobody said, man, Isaiah got hosed. Where's Isaiah?
Yeah.
Like, John Stockton was great. I was fine with John Stockton being the point guard.
That's right.
Isaiah was kind of at the end at that point.
That's right. Yeah, and in the rest of the 90s proved that out, right? Because who was constantly dominant in the Western Conference? It was the Utah Jazz and John Stockton and Karl Malone. So you're right. So he kind of didn't fit. He was a little bit on the outside. And it wasn't his fault. It was kind of an age thing, a timing thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that MJ also apparently hates him.
Yeah.
Still.
Yeah. And he only played one more year, Isaiah, after that. So, and I do remember sitting in the dorm saying and thinking that Leitner deserved, as crazy as this sounds now, that Leitner deserved that spot. If you're going to take one college kid, Leitner was the kid to pick.
Yeah.
You know? Damian Lillard is not exactly enthralled with this possible new setup or return to the NBA. It's going to be interesting. We'll get to that coming up next. Tiki and Tierney.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.